Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This week on The Bachelor. Matt meets the girls for the first time. Will he make them pray during every cocktail party? Then, Katie shows up with a dildo. Will she take it all the way to the fantasy suites? Plus, Queen Victoria came in hot. What cringy thing will she do next? All that and more. It's the most dramatic premiere episode ever. This is The Bachelor.
Hello and welcome to the Bachelor Podcast. I'm Kay York City.
And I'm Fat Carrie Bradshaw.
And we have a very special guest. We have Jared Freed, live screams, here on the Bachelor today.
It's so good to be here with you both. I'm just excited. It's so nice that we had 1 week off, and then it was like, I'd really like The Bachelor to be on. And then it was there. It just, thank you. Like, it gave us all a little bit of something to take our minds off of the worst Monday of the year and probably of the decade, considering it's it's the first Monday after the new year during a global pandemic. So I think it helped us all mentally, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was the first Monday of 2021 that everybody thought was going to like save their psyche. So I also felt the same way, where I was like, oh my God, we only have a week off of The Bachelor. And then that week I was like, what is there to do?
Only have a week off of The Bachelor, because I have literally nothing else to do. I can't think about work right now. Truly the only reason Mondays are okay is knowing that I can get drunk on a Monday night.
Absolutely. And just like, you know, the excitement of it all, like it felt like everyone felt that way. It felt like everyone was just like thankful. Like I think of like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette as like a professional sports league. Like I think of it in the same way I think of like the NFL. And I'm like when the NFL comes back on, it feels like I put on like a cool comforter. Like I'm like, ah, I feel the same way when The Bachelor's on. Like, I feel like, oh, okay, good. Limo night. Perfect. I'm going to see someone walk out with a vibrator. Perfect. Oh, finally, you know?
Yeah, everything just fit right. Like, it was winter. Usually I'm like, if I had to see the La Quinta Inn and Suites again, I was going to, like, fall back into a depression. But then they gave us, like, the literal castle from, like, The Princess Switch. So I was...
the literal totally. Castle.
It was like going into a Hallmark movie about The Bachelor. Like it was.
Yes.
It was.
It really. You couldn't be more right. It just fit everything. You wanted to cuddle up and have a glass of red wine. It made sense for red wine.
Yes.
It made sense for red wine. Before we get started, make sure you guys are following us at The Bachelor on Instagram and Bachelor Pod on Twitter. We're live tweeting every week, all the time, giving you all the news that's happening in Bachelor Nation. And make sure to follow Jared Freed at Jared Freed on Instagram, correct?
That's right. That's where I do my screaming at The Bachelor. And, you know, I'm just fascinated with the whole universe. It's great to be here. Thank you both for having me.
You're our favorite, bro that watches The Bachelor. He writes all of our bros breakdowns, recaps. He writes those, and then he obviously watches it every night. You got to check out his stuff. Live screaming. It's so funny. It really is so funny. My roommates, who I actually moved in with here in California, they had already seen your stuff before, and they're like, oh my God, he's coming on your podcast tomorrow.
Oh,
I
was
like,
shit.
Yeah. Very so you cool. are... known. So let's like kind of dive into it. You know, the first night's usually not super exciting because, you know, we're just getting to know the girls. We don't really know anybody's names. I'm like literally trying to like, is her name going to show up again? Because I'm actually not sure if I'm going to be able to say like, oh yeah, the girl that was like on point shoes,
they
whoever
don't,
that was.
They don't leave up the bottom screen with the name up long enough
long
at
enough.
All.
That should be for the first four episodes. Every time they're on the screen, we should get the names.
Yeah.
And I'm there are moments people, especially when I'm yelling at the show, I'm trying to do it in real time. People will be like, like there was Alenia and Elena or whatever. And
oh,
I'm
yeah,
like,
Elena.
And I'm like, and then someone, what annoys me is someone will be like, it's Elena. And I'm like, you just met these people too.
I know.
People really do get upset. And I'm like, there's a Serena A, Serena B, Serena 2. There's like five Laurens every season, 14 Hannahs. Like how?
It's hard to keep up.
Yeah. And also, I like to be remembered. I like to be reminded what they do for a living.
Yes. I like to know what they do for a living. But it's hard because I truly don't think I'm really looking at their names until, you know, maybe three or four episodes in. I really don't pay attention. I don't care about the girls who go home because they're irrelevant. You're not getting followers. That's it.
Sure. I mean, they kind of assume characters on the first episode.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens on The Bachelorette. We had straight jacket guy. Like, for the rest of the season, I legitimately thought Zach C was straight jacket guy until, like, mid-season. And I was like, oh, that was a different person. Like, you know, like they, they, you know, and from last night, we have a number of characters. Like, we, you know, it's like we have the, you know, obviously the vibrator woman, Katie the vibrator.
Which had so much airtime. Can we talk about how much airtime that vibrator was given?
That show was about her.
It was about her and Victoria. I think it really...
They kept going back and forth to the vibrator, which we didn't even get to see. They had to blur out. We live in a world where we can't even see a fake penis on screen.
That was interesting to me because considering that everyone knows, like, if you went up to, like, a 16-year-old dude who watches The Bachelor and you were like, hey, what do you remember most? They'd be like, well, Hannah B. fucked Peter four times in a windmill-shaped hotel. Like we all know that storyline. Why is a vibrator any worse than fantasy suites? Like, the insinuation, you know?
It's very strange. Also, a funny story about that girl. So her name is Katie, and she DM'd me last week. She DM'd me last week and she goes, I have a confession. I actually applied for The Bachelor because of your Bachelor Nation Facebook group. And I was like,
amazing.
Shut up. And I had no idea that obviously we didn't know about the dildo or anything. But then I was like, well, I can't wait to like see you on the show. And man, did we see her on last night's show.
I mean, that to me makes total sense. It makes total sense that someone would be a part of this show, part of this community, and have like because I liked Vibrator Katie by the end of the show. Like I was a fan of hers. She was using it like one of those keys that people use to like press buttons on the ATM.
You know, like which you can get at shopbatches.com. Thank you.
You can't get one.
Yeah, you guys should make a vibrator shaped one where it's it's a good idea. So I mean, I liked her awareness that this is light. This is fun. If you remember, the joke she made was legitimately like, this is my best friend from the quarantine, which is hilarious.
It's hilarious. She was super fun. And like, she like made the toast with it. And she even said like, we have to make sure that we're like, there might be drama, but let's have fun. And like,
she literally used it. She used it to tap one girl on the shoulder and say like, can I sneak in for a minute? Like,
yeah.
And then that woman got mad. And like, to me, Mari, I think her name is like, when she does the thing where she goes, can you believe I was touched with a vibrator tonight? It's like, get over yourself. You're dating, you and 32 other women are dating the same guy. So what in this world is okay? Who makes the line between good and bad? But I think I'm getting ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I totally hear you. Let's talk about the, I know we talked about how everything felt right about where they are, but the location honestly is amazing. So he lives on in a separate like house, like a mansion, some sort of mansion. It looks like it's upstate, but I know it's in Pennsylvania.
Yes. And they keep referring to the place that they're at by the name of the
room.
Yes. And I'm like, stop saying it like it is the name of an exotic island. It is the hotel's name. You are in rural Pennsylvania. I don't understand why we can't just give Pennsylvania the props for like being beautiful in this moment. They're like, no one's gonna believe this is Pennsylvania. We're gonna call it by its
name. Nemacolin or Nemacolin?
Because
I went to Penn State, so I went and messaged a few friends to get some research because La Quinta became such a character mm-hmm. on The Bachelorette. La Quinta was like, it was another character on the show.
And oh, yeah.
Nima Colin, this resort in Pennsylvania, I was like, I got to figure out what this is. It is a big deal. It is a nice place. It's I made fun of it. I was like, it's every girl's dream to get engaged down the street from a Sheetz. You know, like, and it's like they you know, from what I was told, this is a place that you would go to for a weekend with your beau, a weekend with someone yeah. that you're seeing, a weekend for a like, and also it would be a weekend that would be like an anniversary or something like that. And you could kind of see that, like, it is one of those places that it does look like Hallmark movie-ish. It does look like it's out of, you know, the 12 Dates of Christmas-ish yes. type of thing.
It's very like a rich person would rent the whole thing for their wedding. And then,
well, speaking of that, there's actually facts about it. So Nima Colin has hosted presidents Bush and Clinton, G20 leaders, and was a finalist for the Obama debate prep in 2008. So, like, presidents go here.
Okay.
Legit. And it's also, I mean, it does have the look of a place that would have, you know, those hotels that have outdoor scenes, but they're built indoors. Like, there'd be a hallway yes. that feels like a city street.
Yes.
And it's like, wow, I'm on Bourbon Street in the middle of Pennsylvania. Pass me yes. some beads. Like, it has the feel of a place where, like, a 50-year-old Karen would get loose.
Like the main the main level of a cruise ship. It's like
exactly.
Yeah, like the main street of that's
it's like precisely the oasis of the right. seas.
I wouldn't mind. So all the girls, they obviously, everybody had to quarantine there for 2 weeks. And honestly, I don't think I would hate that. They all got their own rooms, which is probably, this is way different than they're used to on the show. They're used to like sharing rooms and whatnot. But I think at the beginning, they all have their own rooms because they were quarantined. I would not hate this
I would
all.
So much rather be there than where all of last season was filmed, because it was so hot and everyone was so sweaty the whole time.
Everyone
and
I'm like, was so sweaty.
Why these poor girls like caking on makeup only to have it eventually, you know, melt off of their face. So I liked this move of getting a resort in Pennsylvania.
I mean, we're at the point in the quarantine pandemic or whatever we are in where how many people would trade their high school bedroom for, you know, sleeping at the Nima Colin. You know, like, you right. know, like how many people looked at that and they were like, oh my God, I, you know, like how can I, please put me in the woods away from my mom who keeps asking me where my laundry is. Like, it's like
I will go anywhere.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us, and I all, you know, I'm one of those people where I looked at it and I was like, I would do anything.
Imagine you're in the Bachelor Mansion. How would you stand out from all the rest and secure that coveted rose? Maybe it's a quirky and memorable introduction or crushing it at flag football. But what about a delicious smelling perfume mist that'll make you impossible to forget? Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Their fragrances are unique, complex, and turn heads. I love the smell of Sol de Janeiro. And I'm sitting here with Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist and Cheirosa 59 Perfume Mist. Both of them are equally great. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist is an iconic, warm, and sunny fragrance that takes you to a forever kind of summer. It's beautiful. It smells great. It takes you to a place. And then there's Cheirosa 68 Perfume Mist with notes of salted ocean air and luscious florals. It's all great. You know, the word delicious is correct. It makes a statement. You're going to love Sol de Janeiro. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code BETCHELOR10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com. Promo code BETCHELOR10. soldejaneiro.com. Promo code BETCHELOR10.
Tired of not being able able to get a hold of anyone when you have a question about your credit card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
All right, so let's talk about some of the girls, some of the entrances that we had in the limos. And there weren't a lot of like outrageous ones this year that have, you know, sort of showed up. But, you know, you have the girl in the truck, Kayla, who came in the truck.
Okay, let's talk about the truck, shall we? Because, listen, that number one, that is not her truck. That is like a 1997 Ford F-150, but it was spotless, mint condition, and I'm like, nobody's driven this. This is like off of some Jay Leno lot somewhere.
I actually
it was
said
a
that.
Gorgeous truck. It was gorgeous. Like it did look like it was drawn today. Like it was glittering. You know.
Yeah.
I said to my roommates, I was like, "Ugh, this girl's coming in a truck. I feel like that's strange." And my roommate was like, "No, that is a really fucking nice truck. Like this is not some like dingy pickup truck." Like,
but
this-
she was acting like. Like, because they were both from North Carolina, that they both, like, grew up in the mud. Like, she was like, oh, when then they were doing the sweet tea shots, and she kept on being, like talking about how wholesome things were because of North Carolina. And I'm like, he drove a G-Wagon in here.
Like, yeah, like, he drove up in a G-Wagon. Let's not get it twisted.
This is, I found that whole thing.
They did act like they grew up next to the creek. In Mayberry. Yeah, a little bit.
They're from Raleigh.
I've been to Raleigh, beautiful town, college town. Like I will say she did the thing she did correctly, I think, in the as far as the game is concerned, she went straight up like because we're saying like it's hard to remember people. Mm-hmm. So she's like, I'm your hometown girl. We have immediate connect. I have to make a connection with this guy as soon as possible. So let me talk about, I drive a stick shift and I'm driving the truck in North Carolina here. And it's like, I would assume, because I've heard interviews where Chris Harrison's like, we have to remind people of names when they're even giving out roses on the first night.
Yeah.
So like if that were me, I'd be like, hometown, North Carolina. Yeah.
I remember.
Remember that season where I forget who the bachelor was? It was like years ago, but he called someone. And then after the rose ceremony, he was like, I thought that she was someone else. And then they had to go back and he had to be like, I'm so sorry. This is so awkward. But I thought that Kayla was that girl.
That would be my worst nightmare as the bachelor. And one of the things, so I watched this, this pre-show that like ABC sent like a little link for it. And Chris Harrison was telling us that, you know, Matt doesn't know how this works. So like, you know, they would get ready to go into the rose ceremony and Matt would be like, wait, like you guys have, like, I've never given out roses before. I've never really been a part of this process. And they had to like really explain things to him. And they're just trying to like go from scene to scene and he doesn't know.
Well, that's something that I was kind of wondering what you guys thought about this, because that to me was the most interesting part of the first episode. We were meeting Matt James as well as these contestants.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting. You could tell he was nervous.
Yeah.
You could tell he wasn't exactly as energetic as I thought he was going to be. He wasn't really he kind of led a few moments, but it really did feel like what you're saying. Like, it felt like he didn't know what was going on and was a little bit like even like they're walking away and he's like, incredible. And it's like, she can still hear you. Like, let her walk away.
they're like 10 feet away. And he goes, she's amazing. Wow. She's wearing that dress. It's like, okay, she's right here.
I love confidence.
Let her go.
Exactly. I feel like he was obviously nervous and it's all those girls plus like 250 production people. So you gotta be, he's like showing up to set, not knowing anybody. And I feel like all the, like Nick Viall, who's been on the show like 116 times, it's like returning. It's like starting a job on your first day and being the bachelor.
And being the boss. But I would thought it was very interesting. Like, I'm a big fan of watching the show, but I'm also a big fan of watching the audience. Mm-hmm. And with Matt James, we are all in love with this guy.
Like, yeah.
And Kay, you know him. So I know him from Tyler C's Friend. I know him from Instagram. And a few interviews. That's really, and I'm the regular audience, just like anybody else. But the audience has decided, we love this guy.
Yeah.
And it's like, listen, I'm on board for that. But it's funny that we gave shit to Claire Crawley for doing the same thing with Dale. Like, Dale,
that's
she
true.
Was like, I fell in love with his Instagram. And we were like, yeah, bullshit. You guys talked before the show. And then Matt James shows up with one post of him running with the shirt off. And we're like, he's the best. What?
No, it's true. And I'm glad we're all starting to learn more about him outside of the fact that he's Tyler's friend. You know, like, I'm really glad that we're able to get to know him and, like, see what he's about, because he does, like, charity work. Like, he has a whole thing called ABC Food Tours where, you know, he works with kids. Like, I think...
Which does make me wonder where the G-Wagon comes in. But
I think he's also, like, a commercial...
He's also, like, a commercial realtor, so I bet he, like, does well.
I mean, he lives in, like, this insane apartment in New York, like, right downtown. Him and Tyler live together in this, like... it's, like, some crazy... fancy apartment building. It has, like, a bowling alley in it.
I want to talk to the doorman of that building, because I bet the revolving door in that apartment building. the best of DMs coming through the door.
Uh-huh. Oh my God, hilarious.
I remember when Tyler C came on to You Up, he mm-hmm. was talking about ABC Food Tours and it was seemed important to him, and he was saying, he's like, I'm staying on my buddy Matt's couch. Like, they're like very close. And, like, you know, this whole, I can't imagine what went on in that apartment. And, like, but it seemed like they were doing well together. Like, they both were doing well, and this was a big part of their lives. Like, it seems nice. But I'm just, my point is to say, it's like, the audience is in love with Matt, you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just not on board with Claire for the same, and her relationship for the same, very similar way, reasons and stuff. But I was excited to, like, meet him and see how he did. And I think he'll get used to it. It just, it definitely felt tight.
Yeah,
it was tight for sure. But I think some of the girls did, you know, a good job about trying to, like, loosen him up. Like, you had Alana, who got that first kiss with her spaghetti. That was brilliant. Honestly, I liked that one, because I would have done something like that. I'm like, I need to be the first person who kisses this guy. I want to have that. And so she came with the spaghetti, and, like, that was great. I don't know.
Yeah. Plus the Lady and the Tramp thing gives you a reason to do it, where it's a little bit cheesy, but it gives you, kind of lets you off the hook. It's not like you grab the guy and you stuck your tongue down his throat. You did a cutesy thing that could be more sexy, and she kind of did that. I'm with you. I like that entrance.
I want to know what she, like, was she keeping one single piece of spaghetti in, like, a Ziploc bag in her, like, where was it?
Well, she had a bowl.
Oh, I didn't even, I just saw the spaghetti. I was too...
Honestly, just the spaghetti, just the kissing, that's all that mattered. But then you have Kit, who shows up in the Bentley,
Kit? Okay. She, number one, 21 years old.
21. She's Cynthia Raleigh's daughter, so who's a huge fashion designer.
Listen, it said in her thing that she grew up in the West Village, so, like, obviously that just screams, like, I'm from money.
Rich.
And, yeah, it makes total sense that she's Cynthia Raleigh's daughter, who's, like, a very well-known designer.
Well, I have to respect Kit, because she didn't shy away from it.
No.
It's not like she showed up. Because I did this in the preview for Betches, where I noticed the same thing as you guys. I noticed that, and Chris, the West Village thing spoke to me, because I saw, you know, these bios are written by someone else, but they're translated from the person. So in her bio, it says she's a born and bred New Yorker. Born and bred New Yorker is something that rich people say so that they don't have to say where in New York they actually live.
Yeah.
You know, because now you're just like, we're all the same in New York. Everyone who grew up in New York is exactly the same. No, you're not. And then it says they grew up in the heart of the West Village. I was like, okay, next to Tom Brady? Is that where you grew up?
Right. You know,
literally neighbors are Tom Brady and Sarah Jessica Parker.
Exactly. So when I see the born and bred New Yorker, I'm like, is that the Bachelor producers writing that or is that her? And then she comes out of a Bentley wearing a dress that her mom designed. It's literally the dress I've been told is named after her. It's called like the kit. And she looks like your grandmother's pillow. And she's sitting there and you go and she's going, I'm the princess. And she's kind of playing that part. So I kind of am like, okay with it. Like, I'm kind of okay with, like, it's in the same way that Bennett kind of owned the Harvard, I'm the, you know,
he
I'm the elitist.
Leaned into it.
I'm hoping, and again, this could change, but it felt like Kit was leaning into it. It wasn't like Kit came out of the limo in jeans and a big sweatshirt and was like, I live in Brooklyn. Like, no. She was full on Bentley and full on, like, yeah, I'm a rich chick and I'm 21.
She even said the limo was giving me rideshare vibes. And that honestly resonated.
That is what I want from my rich people. Like, if I'm getting a 21-year-old entrepreneur who, when the list first was announced, listed her as a socialite and then they changed it to fashion entrepreneur. That is, I want to see that. I want to see like Vanderpump Rules girl. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
She came into the show with a blue check mark.
Yeah.
She did.
So it's like, yeah, right now I'm in the I respect Kit lane. Even though I'll make fun of her, I do respect that she's owning it. And because other people don't do that on this show. You find out all the time, like, oh, you're like, oh, that person is an SI swimsuit model? Like, you know, like you find out like later.
Now, what did you guys think about, like, the queen, what's her name? Victoria. What did you guys think about her? Because she also came in, you know, with men carrying her. She was the last one in. I feel like she came in already hammered. Like, this girl needed to be sedated from minute one.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was Dana in our group chat was like, this woman is coked out of her brain. I was like, this is somebody that has taken a lot of Adderall in the limo and washed it down with the rest. Or no, she wasn't in the limo. But then the men carrying her were also like obviously producers and like wearing their mask. And I want to know like the producers that had to go to the lower level producers
what
and be
interns,
like, so.
What interns had to do this?
Victoria, I think Victoria is a tough watch for everyone who watches the show.
Yeah.
All of us get the douche chills running up our spine because Victoria, like we've all seen that woman at a party.
Yeah.
Wearing a tiara, makeup running, crying, yelling, telling you, what up, bitches, when she walks into the room. Like we've all seen this kind of storm walk into a bar or a party that we've been at. But also, all of us are worried about us being that person.
Yeah.
All of us have a little Victoria within us. So we see that, and we've woken up many mornings going, was I that guy last night? Was I that person last night? Oh, my God. Did I have a tiara on? Holy shit. Did I tell a woman? So I think, like, when you watch her on screen, she's enraging to people because it's like she's not just someone that we know. It's a little bit of like
bit of us.
a little bit of us. I hope I don't act that way. The most annoying thing Victoria did, and it really bothered me, is listen, you want to be Victoria, you want to be queen, you want to make yourself like a character. But there was another woman who didn't even talk to Matt James, and she was like, I didn't talk to him yet. And there's a whole scene where Victoria's going, talk to him, go. Go, just do it.
Yeah.
Go, literally. If I say literally again, you have to go. And you go, I got flashbacks to being like at bar mitzvahs growing up with someone going, just ask her to dance. Just ask her to dance. Just go. And it's like, you can't scream confidence at people. If you want to do this on your own, you want to be Victoria, the queen, the big mess, the big I'm the bitch girl, fine. But don't yell at someone, you know, into a corner to make them look like an idiot because you think, because you're so little confidence that you never show vulnerability and this person's like upset, you know, like that kind of upset.
100%.
It's Victoria's beach and we're all just playing in the sand, because even later when she's like talking to the other girls and she's like, I want to talk to him again, but like I already talked to him. Should I not? Like, what would you do? And I'm like, what do you mean? What would she do? She's in the exact same situation as like, you and she's not doing it. Like,
Chris, I think you said that Victoria like doesn't realize that the other girls are also contestants.
Yeah, I feel like she just does not understand that like these other are also there for and the same reason she is.
We've all met someone like that. Like, we've all met someone that's like, hey, like that we're all like B players in their scripted romance novel, you know, like.
Mm-hmm. One girl that stood out also, which obviously she ended up getting the first impression rose. It was Abigail, who is deaf, and she also has a sister that's deaf. I really liked her. I thought she was super genuine. You could tell that Matt was very comfortable around her. I liked Abigail a lot. I wasn't expecting a lot from her. And then, obviously she got that rose. I was a little shocked.
I love when the first impression rose goes to somebody that isn't a nightmare. Cause you know, like a lot of the times the first impression rose goes to like the Queen Victoria, because the Bachelor is like unaware of what's going on behind his back. And so I liked that it wasn't that situation.
And he kissed her, which was different. Like, I wasn't expecting him to lean in and kiss her, because usually the girls were making the first move, but he made that first move. So I feel like he's definitely into her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think also the fact that like she was vulnerable from minute one. Like, a lot of people with dating, they do the Queen Victoria, like the least confident people do the Queen Victoria thing when they go on dates. Mm-hmm. They tell you they try to be like kind of run you over with personality. That girl Abigail goes, yeah, I have a hearing implant. I was born deaf. It's great to meet you. I'm excited to be like, she just like kind of oozed honesty. And, and that's in that situation, honest people are hard to come by, because not just if you've ever been like if you ever meet a producer, if you ever meet someone who does production on one of these shows, they're lying as much as the contestants.
Yeah, yeah.
So there are moments where they're like, hey, why don't you go over and talk to her? They're doing the Victoria thing. And you're like, hey, I'm a person. I can just talk to you. What would you like me to do? Like, who should I talk to? Uh-huh. And then you have this girl, Abigail, come over and she's like so sweet, so nice, immediately like letting you into her life. Which she kind of has to, because she probably feels like this is, you know, I just have to let people know before, you know, on this dating show. And it's like got to be refreshing. I was refreshed by it.
Yeah, I agree.
And then to be honest, I didn't really like none of the other girls like super stood out to me. I do like Brie. She was the one in that bright green dress. And she was talking about, I really liked how she was talking about how, you know, her mom is Persian and her dad was black. And so they have that sort of like thing in common, because Matt mentioned that to Chris at the beginning that he was nervous about this situation because he doesn't want to piss anybody off, because there's a certain expectation for being the first black bachelor. And, you know, he doesn't want to piss off the black people and not pick a black girl and then piss off the white people and, you know, whatever. So I really like that there are so many different, like so many diverse girls on here, so that he can't go wrong. But
Kay, I think you're so, I think that was the most interesting part of the whole show, is when he pulls Chris aside and he's like, I want to talk to you. It was funny because he's like, the women are coming. He's like, yeah, they can wait. And Chris is like, yeah, fuck them. And then they go,
I think, fuck, we have another one of these. It's just going to like, I'm actually going to quit.
I feel like Chris has a crush on Matt, as we all do. Like, yeah. When he's talking to him, he's like, huh, like, don't choke me. Or, like, you could if you wanted to. I don't know.
If you're into
whatever.
That.
If you're into it, then, like, I'm also. But, like, if you're not, then I was joking. Like, that's the vibe of Chris was, like, giddy all the time talking to Matt. And I was like, I would also be, so.
Yeah, and they had that talk, and he does, to when he, it felt like he was warning the audience. Mm-hmm. Because he, in that talk, he talks about the racial aspect, how he's like, and it felt like he was like, that audience, if you think that I'm here to represent you, I might disappoint you. And if you think I represent you on this side, I might disappoint you here. And he was like, just calm down to everybody. And then he did the thing where he goes, he also went into that he might not be ready to settle down.
Yeah. Mm. Letting us know from the beginning.
He let the audience know, like, hey, and I think you get that. My feeling is that that's part of being also Tyler C's friend. Mm-hmm. Tyler C has never disappointed the audience, and now he lives like a king.
Yeah.
Like, Tyler C never dumped anyone. He was the, you know, the one Hannah B turned down. He's the good looking guy that was ready to commit, and now he lives a life of like, he lives like one of the, like one of the Hunger Game people that won the Hunger Games. Like, he like just lives this fantastic lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he said like Matt was like, witness that. And he's like, okay, get ahead of it. Get ahead of the narrative. And it felt like that was kind of happening.
I also like the idea of not definitely expecting a proposal at the end. I feel like it's become so expected, everything
overplayed
that happens. So I'm like, I mean, obviously with the Claire stuff, like everything was different last season, but I do like the idea, and I feel like there's more honesty behind it when he's like, I'm really into you, but I'm not ready to like get married after spending 3 weeks at a Pennsylvanian resort with you.
And then imagine going back to your New York City apartment with Tyler C engaged, and you're like, well, I have a fiance now, so I guess, like, the partying's
over. You have to move out.
Well, that was the thing from watching his Instagram. That didn't seem like a guy who was getting engaged anytime soon. His Instagram, nobody has been on more boys' trips than Matt James. That guy has traveled. He has been to every like seaside bar and hung out and had a beer that exists in this country, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't see him as the guy that's going to. I know they show him like holding a ring at the end and like the previews and whatnot, but they also did that with Colton. They showed Colton holding a ring, but we know Colton never proposed to anybody.
Yeah.
So I remember them showing that in the preview, and it was a whole thing. So I don't see him as the type of guy that's going to get engaged at the end of this. Just because I think it seems like he has his head on his shoulders a little bit more than just like, oh my gosh, I'm famous now and I have all these girls and I can do whatever I want and I have a free ring. I think that he's going to make a decision, like a real clear decision, and, you know, maybe piss off some producers in the process.
Yeah. Well, imagine he just like pulls like, I don't actually like any of them. And Matt James becomes like the villain.
I wonder like what happens, because I feel like I've been on 30 dates and have not liked 30 guys. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what happens? What's the opposite of that? Like, also with the girls, like, what if you show up and you realize you don't like the guy? Like from the beginning.
Well, that's kind of like a moment. I mean, to as far as like the last night's episode, there was a moment where Matt James goes to say hi to all the women, and he goes, "You know, usually they're like, hey, welcome to the show." He goes, "I'd like us all to bow our heads for prayer."
Oh,
the prayer, yes.
And that would be a moment where I'd be like, "Hey, we're probably not going to get married."
Nice meeting you.
Like, I just couldn't believe, like, just like you're saying, like, how is there not one woman who's like, I would have been
there were so many that were like, oh my God, I'm also like so religious now.
Everybody is now a Christian. We are all
the vibrator girl was doing the head, the shoulders, and the Holy Ghost with the vibrator. Yeah. They all found God in 2 seconds.
You know that meme that's like, hey, how y'all doing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, that is me, like, sneaking back into the room, like, with after another drink from the prayer, like, hey.
My body would have literally gone straight up into flames with all the alcohol that I've consumed, like, flammable the second the prayer started. I'd be like, oh, this is...
I can't even keep my eyes closed if I go to, like, someone's house to, like, eat dinner, and they're like, yeah, we're going to do a little grace. I'm like, what? Are you crazy?
Why?
Like, I just can't. It was that moment where you go, how did not one woman just go, hey, we're probably not the match.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay. Like, it's not a bad thing to pray. It's just that says everything about how you go through a lot of things in life. Did they find 32 women who were like, and I go to church every Sunday and I pray before every sip of alcohol.
We're all
like,
the
I don't
same
know.
Religion and everything.
That was my question too. I was like, there's got to be like other religions.
And we have that thing with Ivan and Tayshia, like it wasn't going to work out because they're religious differences. And so
that was the other thing, because it's, I guess Tayshia's very religious and Ivan like is not, but I feel like they didn't talk about, like, we didn't hear Zach talking about, well, I guess he did, because,
well, it kind of shows you that, like, some at the beginning with relationships just generally you go, oh, that'll work itself out, and then it doesn't. You know, like, most times it
doesn't.
Yeah, like, oh he likes oh, he goes, you know, he's going to do grace before every meal. Yeah, that's cool. Good for him is at first. And then you get like 7 months into it and you're like, wait a minute, you don't, you know.
Yeah,
like,
it's like, it's a fucking lean cuisine. Just shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those, it's very apt to real relationships.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't know. I mean, imagine you get through the whole Bachelor and then like Matt James is the person that like claps when the plane lands, and like that's like something that these people won't know until the line happens.
And then you find out, and then you're like, is this we're gonna have to compromise on this, because you're either praying or you're clapping, and it's one or the other.
You don't get both.
I just kept imagining the vibrator sitting there at the while during the prayer, like shaking its head like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, the regrets streaming through her body. So we get to the rose ceremony. I don't think we need to talk about the girls that went home, because honestly, I don't know any of their names, and it doesn't matter.
The ballerina went home, yes, which was surprising.
I was surprised about that.
Yeah, she seemed like such a catch, but I mean, that's the thing. Like, she's a catch to me. Like, I don't, you know, like Matt could have been like, it just didn't connect. You know, I get that.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the scene? I saw a bunch of people posting about this on Twitter, but Anna and Alana, so the girl who looked like Hannah B and then the girl who brought the spaghetti, they both had on the exact same dress and they were in the same frame during the rose ceremony. So you see these like red crosses going across their chest and they both had the exact same dress on.
Oh,
the producers
did not
must
notice.
Have known and put that together.
Well, I mean, not only did that happen, so this is haunting me. These two red dresses are haunting me.
No.
Because I yelled at the screen. He actually said, what are their names? It's Anna
and
Elena.
Anna and Alana.
Alana. So he goes, Alana. And then Anna goes, and it's on my Instagram. She goes to get up. And then he goes, no, Alana, behind you.
She's
and
like, oh, wait.
She's direct. Oh. Yeah. They basically do Night at the Roxbury. They're like, me, him, you, me, me, you. And then Alana goes up there, and then I didn't notice they were in the exact same dress. Like, I didn't
exact
notice.
Exact same dress.
I probably have 3,000 DMs being like, is that the same dress? Like, people were freaking out. And it's like, how does that work? Like, Kay, is there a possibility that they go, like, what do they do?
I mean, I don't, like, a possibility of, like, how they got the same dress.
Do you go change? Do you say, like, hey, give me the other dress that girl, you know, brought with her? Like,
I feel like if you're in that situation, you kind of just have to, like, lean into it. Like, make a joke about it with each other, or, like, make a joke about it on screen. Because if you ignore it, then it's, like, then everybody's like, talking about it. But if I
walked into the like room and saw that there was someone else, I would like, sneak back and change. But if it's their like entrance or whatever, I feel like they don't even know like where their rooms might be yet and stuff. I don't know. I feel like that was very rude of the producers. Yeah.
I think you're stuck. You got to own it. Yeah. But also like, Kay, what you're saying is like, she might have said, "Lay, they might have stood next to each other and laughed about it."
Yeah,
but they're never gonna. That's never gonna be put in the in like the final cut. Like that's never gonna make it.
Of course, and I don't know. And then you, or you could just show up like the girl who had no clothes on and have Matt pick your dress out for you. The confidence that that girl had, I was like,
That's a confidence I'll never know.
I'll never know.
Well, especially to walk around with an open robe. If I walked around with an open robe, I would look like Tony Soprano, like just totally stomach hanging out. You know, it's just like she open robe walk around. That is a level of confidence I can't even. And then the other thing is unattainable. And also asking what she should wear. I've been in that situation with my girlfriend. That is a lose-lose. Like you can't. Everything you like, anytime she, my girlfriend's like, "What should I wear?" I go, "Yeah, those jeans." And she'll go, "Well, what about the pants?"
Yeah.
I'll be like, "The pants are good too." Well, do you like them better than the jeans?
And I'm like, knows what she wants to wear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she wants you to say it.
Yeah.
They already know what they want to wear. They're just giving you the option to get the correct answer. It's a quiz.
Yeah. Yeah. Have fun reading my brain, reading my mind. You know, like it's just awful.
If we're asking you, we already know, and so you better get it fucking right because we're just going to go with whatever we wanted to wear in the first place anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. I felt for Matt James in that situation.
I'm really excited for this season, though. It was. It seems like there's going to be a lot of drama. It seems like they bring more girls on.
Yeah.
I think they bring more girls, which is interesting. Like, well, I don't know why we needed to bring more girls. That's what the preview was showing, that they were bringing more girls back.
I feel like it's a guaranteed, like, added drama bonus to bring in some randos a couple of weeks in. Because then it's like, and those girls, God help them. I mean.
Well, I don't know if it's randos because
who's that one girl that's been on?
Heather. So Heather. They bring Heather back from Colton season. She was the girl that had never been kissed.
Never been kissed. Yes, I remember this.
She comes back, but then also there's a few other girls, and I was looking at them, and they were from the list of girls that they had first announced when Matt's season came out, and then they had another like new list. It's sort of like Claire's.
Oh, if I was Matt, I would be so mad if they were like, "Yeah, we're bringing in some extra women," and they're like, "This one's never been kissed." I'd be like, "Can you bring on one that you know has been with like that'd be like
that's been kissed with 10 guys."
Yeah, I want someone that's been kissed so many times that she's just you know kind of like you know real chill. Like this is gonna be like a huge moment in her life. You know, like this is just gonna be real relaxed. Bring back the vibrator girl. I would just be like anyone who brings a vibrator with them, I'm cool with.
Vibrator
Katie. But that's Hannah B's friend, so they're really close. And you know, Matt and Hannah B are super close because of the quarantine crew or whatever. So I'm wondering if there's like some backstory behind their relationship and bringing her back. But the never been kissed thing, I hope she's been kissed since. Because Jesus, like
she just keeps going on The Bachelor to get kissed. She's like, it can only happen here.
On the only TV. Way.
Give me a break. She's like stunning. I'm like, how? This was a choice for sure.
Sure.
All right. Well, that was awesome. Thank you, Jared, so much for joining us. Make sure you guys are following him at Jared Fried. Listen to his podcast. He's on Are You Up podcast and J Train podcast. What else is going on, Jared?
That's it. At Jared Fried. I'm screaming at the TV. Thank you both for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here. And I hope I wasn't too much. And I just get so excited about this show. I'm genuinely... I'm
invested.
Genuinely invested, excited, and I think we're going to have a good season. I do think they're bringing in more women because they learned how hard it is to keep storylines going in one location.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Like, so I think like last time with the La Quinta, they're like, man, we didn't even, like how many dates could they buy from Walmart? It was getting really bad. Yeah, it was a pinata. Then they got a, you know, a kiddie pool, and it's like
the
so
paint.
I think
they were like, figure out your own dates. I felt like Tayshia. They were like, literally, you plan it. I don't know.
Sure. So I think this is a way. And they're like, well, we can't switch locations, so we'll just switch people. And I think that's like the.
Bring some more people in. But yeah, make sure you guys are following Jared and follow us at The Bachelor on Instagram and Bachelor Pod on Twitter. Chris and I are live tweeting and memeing all week, giving you every bit of information that's going down, whether it's breakups, new couples, or whatever. So make sure you guys are following us there. But until then, I'm Kay York City.
And I'm Fat Carrie Bradshaw.
Betches.